Hey, everybody, welcome back. Everybody feeling sleepy after lunch? Okay. Yes, okay, that raises a very important point. What I was going to say is that some publisher, I don't know who, gave us a few of these books to give away. And also MindKits has given us a couple of Arduinos and a pair of XP modules to give away later. So we're trying to figure out on what basis these things should be given out. So I decided that the first one should be given to the first person to injure themselves while soldering. No, it wasn't you. It was Joel. Yeah, he's got the scar to prove it. In just a little while, Andy is going to start going through some of the software aspects of what you can do with the Pebble. But in the meantime, if there is anybody that needs to finish off assembly, go for it. We'll have a few minutes to do that. I think most people pretty much finished up, but there are a couple who may still have some bits to finish. And if you want to do actual experiments yourself during the next session, you'll need the IDE running on your laptop. So if you don't have that installed, now's the time to start doing that. And if you need assistance with that, then make yourself known. And there are quite a few people around here who will be happy to help you. So in the meantime, I suppose just carry on, and Andy will be up in a few minutes. Okay, one minor amendment to that. If you have the IDE installed, but you don't have the ICO library installed, that will need to be put in. So if you need help with that, you already have the IDE ready to go, but you need ICO, grab someone and give you a hand.
All right. If everyone's ready, we'll try and get through some of the software section. We've got roughly 35 minutes. Up further again. Is that better, John? John? Okay. Okay, over the next half hour, we'll try and get through some of the software for the Pebble that we built this morning. So finishing off from the hardware this morning, the next steps would be to install the Arduino IDE. Is it the microphone or it's speakers? Yeah, can everyone hear up the back now? More volume? Maybe I'll just have to hold it up and sort of... Is that better? Yeah, okay. I've actually got to speak right into it. Okay. Right, so after the hardware build this morning, the next steps are going to be to have an IDE installed for the Arduino, install the ICO Arduino library, and there's a few other third-party libraries that are required. Plus, I've got some small sketches that can exercise the Pebble hardware. Now, given the vast spectrum of experience in the room, from people who haven't used an Arduino before to people who've got a lot of expertise, we've got people who've got Pebbles and people who haven't, what we'll basically do is just cover this, give everyone a bit of a taste. And there's a number of us staying at the U Stay up in Willis Street, and we'll be there each evening. And we can anyone who wants help either installing the IDE, installing the ICO library, doing more testing with their Pebble, getting to greater depth in Zigbee, all those things we'll be doing all throughout the rest of the week. So please drop by, and we'll give some contact details. Okay, oh, that's just finishing off. These are some of the people that are responsible for the hardware design, software, and ordering parts. There's a lot of people went into making sure this day could occur, so I'd like to thank everyone, and especially the people who came along, the experienced people who came along today to help. We couldn't have built all these bits of hardware without people helping out, so thanks for that. Okay, so just go. It's in here somewhere. Okay. Right, so for the experienced people, on GitHub, the URL is github.com/geekscape, GEEKSCAPE/ICO. That's a capital A, I-K-O. And in there you find all the parts you need. So if you go up to the top right-hand corner, there's a button for download source. And so if you go to that URL, download source, that gives you a tarball which you can unpack, and that gives you the ICO platform. And most importantly, there's a number of sketches down here called Pebble_display, Pebble LDR, Pebble Relays, Pebble Relays ICO, Pebble Temperature. So there's some small tests that you can run to make sure your hardware works. Oh, yeah, sorry. Thanks, Mitch. Mitch, for those who had the hardware placemat, the URLs are on the back. So John thought ahead. Thanks, Mitch. Okay, so... So quickly playing with the actual Pebble. Arduinos use an IDE. It's written in Java. It's cross-platform. It allows you to have a simple text editor to create C code or even a little bit of C++, which gets downloaded into the Arduino. I'll also talk a little bit about the hardware, what a sketch is, which is the Arduino name for a program, a little bit about software to run your Pebble, talk a little bit about the ICO framework, and also a touch on Zigbee mesh networking. So for those of you who've got the IDE installed, great. If anyone else, please come and contact us afterwards and we'll help you get up to speed with that. Basically, it's a simple GUI that gives you a text editor and then basically a wrapper around a set of command line tools for doing cross-compilation in GCC for the AVR microprocessor. It also uses a program called AVR Dude, which basically downloads the firmware into the Arduino across USB. So the beauty of this is you don't need special programmers or complex environments. You just tap away a bit of C code, press upload, and the Arduino is off and running. In the Arduino world, they're not called programs, they're called sketches. I don't know why. Crazy Italians. And it also supports third-party libraries. So what you find is for a lot of hardware, like one-wire temperature sensors or special LCDs or servo motors, there's a wealth of... third-party libraries, which you simply put into your local directory in the sketches/libraries directory, pop those in there, and then you can just use them as little modules. Okay, so the IDE basically looks like this. up in the top hand corner is a looks like a little play button, which is for compiling programs. And that little right arrow there, basically you press that and it'll upload code to your Arduino. So you just type in C code here, press compile, press upload, and you're done. It's pretty simple. The Arduino hardware, it's based on an AVR microprocessor. Most common Arduinos at the moment have what's called an Atmega 328, which runs 16 megahertz. Some people may also have a bigger board called the Mega, which has Atmega 128, which just has more memory, more I/O ports. So a quick rundown is you can expect to have 13 digital I/O ports, a couple of which are used for transmit receive. There's they also do specialised functions like pulse width modulation for allowing you to have dimming your LEDs to different intensities, or controlling servo motors. There's analog input pins for things like reading off the light dependent resistor, or off accelerometers, which give you a value between 0 and 5 volts. There's a single UART. There's flash memory, which is typically around 32K. So these machines are probably not much more powerful than the microprocessor that runs the keyboard in your laptops. The Mega does have 128K, which is more than enough for most purposes. The amount of static RAM can be quite small, only about 2 kilobytes, and later this afternoon John Ox will be talking about memory management and how to avoid collisions between your heap and your stack. So these are all things we don't worry about in the days of gigabyte virtual memory machines. And there's a small amount of EEPROM for doing things like storing configuration. And these things come in many form factors. They're not here, but I've got examples. There's wearable ones, there's surface mount, there's boards that are custom-made boards, all that support the Arduino form factor. So an Arduino sketch is typically people write in C code, but a lot of the underlying libraries are written in C++, so it gives you classes. Basically, there's one function called setup, which is called once, and you typically do things like initialization there, like set up the pins to say this is a digital input pin or a digital output pin. You might also set the board rate of your serial port. Then the other function that's called is the loop function, and that gets called repeatedly from then on. So setup gets called once, and then the loop function gets called when it returns. It just gets called again. So you might do things in the loop function, like read a digital input and then manipulate some digital output, or you might send some data back to the PC and just do that continuously. So they're the two functions to have instead of the main function. The Arduino libraries and give you some basics for manipulating pins, saying like pin mode, this is an input pin or an output pin. The analog read function, the digital read function, and the digital write function. So these are what comprise the bulk of your code. Reading pins, writing pins, talking to the PC. It's very, very simple C coding. There's a URL which is at the arduino.cc site. So if you go to arduino.cc, you'll see something called reference. And that gives you the complete language, the reference, which is basically the C language, plus all the libraries for manipulating the all the digital I/O plus serial and so on. There's also documentation for all the third-party libraries specific to the hardware you're using. And also at the bottom, I've just written a few notes on for serial I/O. You basically go serial begin the baud rate. You put that into your setup function, and then there's things like serial print line, and serial read. You can include standard IO.h and string.h, all those C things you're used to, but these things consume 2, 4, 6K of memory, which is quite a lot of your memory budget on these things. So you use those very, very sparingly, if at all. Okay, the Pebble hardware, which you've all been working with today, just the rundown, the LCD screen uses 3 digital outputs, which go to the 4094 chip, which then muxes those out to the six outputs that are needed to drive the LCD. There's 3 input buttons sitting off 1 analog input. There's what's called a resistor ladder. Each button is sitting on a different resistor value. So when you press a button, your analog read will read a different voltage. And you can press 2 buttons together or 3 buttons together. Each of these give a different voltage. So you basically have a little, like a switch statement to basically say, what voltage am I reading? That must be button 1, 2, or 3. The potentiometer just takes 1 analog input, just gives you a value between 0 and 1024. We've noticed that all the Pebble kits were meant to come with a linear potentiometer, which means that as you go all the way from left all the way to the right, you get a linear increase from 0 to 1023. But we've noticed some of them have come with logarithmic potentiometers, unfortunately. So you basically see a value of 1023, and then right at the right of scale, we just all of a sudden will go zip down to zero. So we apologise for that, and if you're in that situation, just give us a call, and we'll try and sort that out for you. There's a light-dependent resistor. That's very easy. Depending on the level of light or dark, it gives you a value between 10.0 and 10.23. The temperature sensor is a digital temperature sensor using what's called the one-wire protocol, and there's a library to talk to that, and that just gives you a value in Celsius. There's two relays, which is just two output pins. You just basically say digital write high or low, and that controls those relays. And then there's room for a Zigbee module, which we'll talk a bit about later. But that was optional because that cost an additional about $25, which we thought some people may not want to do. But that allows you to experiment with mesh networking. You need two. You need one on the Arduino and one on your PC or on another Arduino. And if you have three or four or more, you can basically build a mesh network of device sensors and actuators. So there's also six digital pins free and three analog pins free, and there's a prototyping area so you can build up your own additional sensors and actuators. In particular, the pins with F3 means that you can put an Ethernet shield or a Wi-Fi shield, and then stack them, and that's compatible. The Pebble won't interfere with those pins, which are pin 10 through 13. Yeah, sure. When you can tell you've got an analog pot, but when you run the ICO sketch that looks at the analog value, for most of the turn of the knob, you'll see it's like a 1023, and then just in the very last fraction of the turn, it goes whoosh down to zero really quick. So you'll know. Right. So one of the gotchas of the developing of the Pebble is up in the top right hand corner is the module is the sockets for the Zigbee. If the Zigbee's plugged in, that's using the same serial transmit receive ports as the USB port. So if you've got the Zigbee plugged in, you won't be able to program the Arduino. So your two choices are either to develop with the Zigbee module out until you've sort of got the code how you want it to be and then plug the Zigbee module in, or you can just take the Pebble off the Arduino, program it, and then put the Pebble back on. So it's a little bit of a pain, but if you plug your Zigbee module in and you go, hey, why doesn't it program? That's because that'll be why, as some people have found out already. Okay, so I'm not too sure how well everyone will be able to see this, but if you go to the GitHub URL I mentioned before and dive down into the directory called Pebble, you'll see a sketch there called pebble_LDR, and this just simply shows you the small amount of code you need to read the LDR value. Basically, we define the LDR being on pin 0. There's also a potentiometer on pin 1. Same code works in both cases. In the setup function, we set the serial port to be at 38400 baud. And then in the loop, we basically read the analog pin with an analog read method, and then you can just simply print that out to the serial port, delay for 200 milliseconds to give you time to read it, and then loops around again. So it's very easy to read the light sensor and the potentiometer, and then you can decide whatever logic you want based on that. You know, open a curtain or send a tweet or something like that. Like, it's dark in here. It's the top one. It was the second one, ICO. And if you go to that URL, you'll see a directory listing, and then there's a directory called Pebble, and under that there's pebble_LDR, and then there's a file called pebble_LDR.pda, which is the sketch. And so you could basically pull that sketch down straight off the website and run it. You don't need any third party libraries or ICO or anything like that. Another sketch that's there is to control the relays. These are output pins, so you basically, in the analog, you'll see that there's no need to say that it's an input or output, because all analog pins on the Arduino are input, whereas the digital pins can be either input or output. So typically in the setup method, you'll say pin mode, the pin number, pins 6 and 7 for the two relays, and just set them to output. And then in the loop code, you simply just do a digital write to say set one relay high, set the other relay low, delay for half a millisecond, then switch them around. And so that'll basically just cause the relays just to flick backs and forwards. And Mitch provided everyone with a little dongle to stick onto the 6-pin header on the top right-hand corner. And so if you run this little relay sketch, that'll make these two LEDs sort of blink in alternate blinking. The reason that we started writing the ICO framework is that typical Arduino code has a lot of delays in it, so delay for 100 milliseconds here or a few milliseconds there. That's fine if you're just doing something like blinking some lights, but when you start to do more sophisticated things, you'll find putting delays in just doesn't work. And so ICO is an event-based framework which allows you to basically say, I want this thing to happen 5 times a second or 20 times a second, and then it allows you to have things, sensors be read and actuators be actuated independent of each other. You don't have these things all getting tangled up with spaghetti code and delay loops. Okay. One really nice feature of the Arduino IDE is the ability to use third-party libraries. And to do that, you basically stop the IDE. You download the third-party library from wherever you find it. A lot of these on the Arduino.cc website, but they're all over the place. There's a directory called Sketches, which is where your Arduino programs are put. So it's usually in your home directory. And then under that, if you create a directory called Libraries, that's where you can install all your third-party libraries. So it's a new feature of the Arduino IDE version 17 that you can do this in your local directory rather than having to do it in user local or somewhere that's system-wide. In the Sketches Libraries directory, you just simply unpack the library, just unzip it or untar it, restart the IDE, and then that library will then be available to you. I'll just show you what that looks like. So in the Arduino IDE, if you go up to Sketches under Import Library, you'll see there's a whole lot of libraries there. So top there's ICO, which is in my user area, and then there's a whole lot of standard libraries like Liquid Crystal for running Liquid Crystal displays, New Soft Serial, which allows you to do serial port access onto the other non-UART pins, OneWire for talking to the OneWire temperature sensor, servo motors. So that allows you to import and use the libraries, and then under under examples, you'll see there's examples for all of the libraries. So, for example, under ICO, there's the ICO node sketch, which is provides all the functionality for the Pebble. So when you install your third-party libraries, these examples all get filled out for you. Okay, how are we going for time? 15 minutes. Okay. So installing ICO and then OneWire, basically you go to the URL that I've described before on GitHub, press download source, that gives you a big tarball. You then just cd to the sketches/libraries directory, unpack it, restart your ID, and then ICO is installed. So I think we've run out of time today to do that in place, which we would love to do, but we'll take that offline. Similarly, on the Pebble, there's OneWire hardware for the temperature sensor, so you need to download the OneWire library. And ICO makes use of two further libraries, New Soft Serial and P-String, which is just a handy way of manipulating strings. So there's three libraries. And in the code for ICO up the top, you'll see that right at the top of the ICO node.pde, it documents what the libraries you need and the URLs to get them. So that's the steps you'll have to do. Okay, thanks, Steve. As Graham points out, prior to Arduino 16, you had to load the Liquid Crystal library yourself, but now it's part of Arduino 17. So things are always moving and changing in the Arduino world, just to make our life a bit more fun. Okay, so once ICO is installed, this library, what you can do is you can then rewrite the relay code. So instead of having delays, it's all event driven. So the main differences are in the setup code. We have a thing called events, a class called events. You can basically go events add handler, and then the C function, and then how often you want that to be called. So in this case, I've got relay 1 being called every 500 milliseconds, and relay 2 being called every 600 milliseconds. And then the other thing you do is in loop, rather than having a handwritten code there, you basically make a call to events.loop, which is our event handler, and then what it does is it just calls the two C functions, relay 1 handler and relay 2 handler. And what that means is relay 1 will be turning on and off every 500 milliseconds, and relay 2 will be turning on and off every 600 milliseconds. And that would be tricky to accomplish with delay, putting delay loops in. I mean, it's not impossible. I'm sure everyone in the room could do it, but everyone in the room probably also knows not to do it. Okay. This is the code for ICO using the temperature sensor. In ICO, what we've done is we've got... We use the OneWire library, which you get for as part of the which you can download the Arduino IDE. But what the OneWire library doesn't include is code for specific OneWire devices. So you have to code that up yourself using the OneWire library. But we've put that code into ICO. And so all we need to do in ICO is basically say what pin the OneWire temperature sensor on, which is pin 5 in the Pebble, add an event handler for the temperature sensor, and then have the event loops, then there's a function handler called temperature sensor handler. And then by just doing those three steps, that gives you access to the temperature sensor. So if you look through the ICO node PDE code, it's all there in detail, too much detail in fact, but that's sort of the basics of what you have to do, which is basically define the pin that the temperature sensor is on, add the handler, and then add the function. Okay. I'll just briefly talk about the LCD screen. The LCD screen is three pins on the Arduino that we use, digital pins 2, 3, and 4. Pin 2 is what we call a strobe. What the strobe does is basically selects the... Hang on, should I think this through? Forgot the difference between the strobe and the clock, but I'll just move on. What we do is with pin 2 is put the data that you want set out to the LCD screen. So if you... Basically, we're sending out the serial, the 8 bits. So what you do is you send out bit 0 first, then bit 1, bit 2, bit 3, and then the clock will be basically send a signal to basically say, right, latch that into the shift register. So rather than sending out 8 bits on 8 pins, we're basically sending out a bit at a time. And then, now I've got my head back again. And then you use the strobe and say, right, latch that. So I basically had a bit of brain fade there for a sec. So you basically... You set the clock up and say, go high, low, high, low, high, low. You send out bits 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then you go latch, then you use the strobe and say latch, and that puts it onto the output of the shift register. The shift register can put out 8 bits. We're using the LCD in 4-bit mode, so 4 of those bits are the data to the LCD. The other 3 bits are used to control the enable and read-write signals on the LCD, because with the LCD you can say... you can write commands to it to put characters up. You can also do a read to basically read back out what character fonts and things are, which we don't use. That allows us to use only 3 pins rather than 6. That's probably a bit of a messy description. Oh, yes, thanks, Grant. I forgot that. Was that Thomas? That was yours already, wasn't it? Yeah, Thomas is responsible for this. In the top left part of the Pebble, there's a little LED. That's on one of the pins of the shift register, and what it means is as you shift values, I think it's a bit. What's it going to be? It's going to be bit zero. Bit zero. If you shift that bit on there, that allows you to turn the LED on or off. So just a bit extra use of hardware. Leave no bit unused. Yes, the one in the top left corner. The green LED in the bottom right corner tells you about Zigbee communication, whether Zigbee has discovered another Zigbee module. Okay, ICO node runs all the hardware on the Pebble at the moment. So basically, if you make a directory called sketches/ICO node, you can then copy the iconode.pde file from the ICO library. So what we've got to distinguish there is the difference between the ICO library, which is a framework which gives you event-based handling and lots of device drivers, and the ICO node PDE, which is the actual sketch that runs on the Pebble. So that's a key piece, is to copy the ICO node PDE out of the ICO library into the sketches area. Once you've done that, you can simply bring up the... crazy Mac. So once you've done that, I'll just close this. You basically go File, Sketchbook, ICO Node, and just brings up this window that was already there. Oh, actually. So, and this is the ICO Node software. So if we go... One of the important things is the ICO Node software supports a number of different hardware configurations. The configuration you want is the one called Pebble, so you need to comment out if it says Gateway or Stone, just comment those out and make sure you're saying you're using a Pebble, otherwise the code will be trying to run a completely different set of hardware. The most interesting thing probably is in the setup function. In the setup function, you can see we're adding a whole lot of handlers for serial handling, blinking pin 13, which is the Arduino standard Hello World LED. The node handler is a heartbeat to see that the pebble's alive. There's a button handler for the three input buttons. There's an LCD handler for updating the clock and the LCD. There's a handler for the potentiometer. And all these are at different sample rates. So, for example, the LCD is being updated every 1,000 milliseconds, so once a second. The buttons and the potentiometer are being sampled every 10 times a second. There's handlers for the light sensor and the temperature sensor, each of which are sampled once a second. And then this thing called serial mirror, what that is if you've got an Arduino with Zigbee on it, what you can do is you can get it to mirror the commands out through Zigbee to basically forward those on to other Arduinos. So it basically allows an Arduino to act as like a little router to basically mirror serial commands out over to the Zigbee mesh network. There's also a touch panel handler. If you happen to have a Nintendo touchscreen, you can use that Nintendo touchscreen instead of buttons and knobs. So that's basically the heart of the Icon node code, setting up a whole lot of event handlers. Let's see. Right, so this is just reiterating that the Icon node has grown over probably about 6 months to control a number of different types of hardware, including the pebbles we built today. The thing called a gateway is basically an open WRT box which I've got up here with a pebble inside, so it's sort of a mashup, a hardware mashup. There's also something called the stone, which is used for electrical monitoring, for basically putting a current clamp on. One of the key things that needs to be done with ICO at the moment is refactor and modularize a lot of the code that's sort of grown like weeds. Okay, to finish off, I'd like to quickly talk about Zigbee, which is part I find most interesting personally, because the idea of having a cheap Arduino tethered by USB to your to a very expensive computer just doesn't seem right to me. So the thing I like about Zigbee is it allows you to have one or more Arduinos scattered around your environment, acting independently, talking to each other. Zigbee is based on something called 802.15.4, so and that basically provides the physical layer of the networking, and above that, the Zigbee protocol basically provides dynamic discovery and routing to create a mesh network. It can work in basically about four different ways: point to point, broadcast, a star topology, which basically is like a coordinator, a router, and then nodes underneath it, or true mesh networking. The Zigbee modules that some people have opted to buy are from Digi, which used to be known as MaxStream, and one of the key things to note is there's what's called Series 1 modules and Series 2 modules, or 2.5. And one of the big problems is around the net, there's all sorts of people commenting and documenting things about Zigbee modules, but they're not distinguishing between the two series. And the two series are not compatible. If you've got a Series 1 module, it will not talk to a Series 2 module. That's different firmware, different protocol. So all of the modules you've got are all Series 2.5. There's pros and cons to each. A lot of people prefer Series 1 because in Series 1 there's firmware on board, there's a microprocessor and firmware on board, so just with a Zigbee module by itself, you can do digital and analog sensing without any need for an Arduino. But since most of the stuff I do is with an Arduino, I find the Series 2 is more interesting because it's what allows true mesh networking. The Series 1 modules do just work out of the box. If you have two Series 1 modules, you basically just plug them in and they talk to each other as a virtual serial port. With the Series 2, you have to set one up to be a coordinator. So the way they've come from SparkFun, which we bought them from, is that they've got what's called the ZNet 2.5 firmware on them. I personally prefer to put the Zigbee Pro firmware on them, but that basically requires a firmware upgrade. They're all configured to be what's called an endpoint router. So for Series 2, what you need to have is you need to have one coordinator. So typically, I put I flash a Zigbee module as a coordinator, and I put that onto my PC or onto my gateway, and then all the other Arduinos either have as routers or as endpoints. The way it works is the coordinator which you have one of is used to basically look after the routing tables for the mesh network. It needs to be powered up all the time. Routers It's all done in the same modules, just which firmware is running on them. A router is also needs to be powered up all the time, and what it does allows you to have multiple hops between the coordinator and the further out nodes, and then the nodes at the end of the chain are what are called endpoints, and these can be on battery. They can go to sleep and wake up, because one of the features of Zigbee is it's very low power and low latency. It's about 15 milliseconds from sleep to awake and then back to sleep again. So if you've got something that's just running off a battery, you can just have it come up every minute or 5 minutes, send some data, go back to sleep again, and it'll run for potentially years on a battery. Like Bluetooth, Zigbee uses what's called a PAN, and so you have a PAN ID. When these things come from the, well, when you buy them from the web, their PAN ID is 234. So we won't have time to do any Zigbee stuff here today, but if anyone who's interested in bring your Pebble and Zigbee along back to the use day, we'll try and see how many Pebbles and we can get going in a mesh network. And so what I've done is I've got firmware on a couple of my modules to act as a coordinator, and then everyone else's can be endpoint routers, and we'll see how we go. Strangely, what I find fascinating about this is that the AT command set still lives. People familiar with John's book and his car project will know that there's ODB chips you can get called the PLM327, and you talk to them with an AT command set. So perversely enough, you can probably talk to your modern car using AT commands. Similarly with Zigbee, there's AT commands to basically, there's the old +++ escape sequence to get into command mode. Then you can do things like ATID to change the PAN, ATNI to change the name of the node, ATBR to change the baud rate, and ATWR to flash that back out to the firmware again. I'll probably play it out to EEPROM. So you can do this from any command program, so Minicom on Linux. And typically what I do is I change the PAN address so that I don't conflict with anyone else's PAN. I also change the baud rate. The default baud rate is 9600 baud. I usually take that up to 38400. Both John and I and some other people independently have decided that 38400 is a good baud rate to have as a default on Arduinos, because many things seem to work up to that speed quite well. If you try and, there's many things that will work at 115/200, but also your mileage will vary. So we get pretty reliable 38400. So basically, yeah, change the PAN ID, change the node identifier, up the baud rate to 38400, which is what ARCO uses, and then do an ATWR. So you can change your endpoints quite easily that way. The other thing you'll want to do is to upgrade the firmware on one using modules to a coordinator. And to do that, you need to use a program provided by Digi called X-CTU. And it's just unfortunately, it's a Windows program. And it basically talks the AT commands out to the Zigbee module, and it allows you to upgrade the firmware, which is not something I'd personally want to do by typing in AT commands over a terminal. So if you want to upgrade your Zigbee module, that's how you do that. Once you've got it set up, in the simple mode, basically it acts as a virtual serial connection between your PC and the Arduino, or between one Arduino and the other. So it's basically transparent. It just hangs off the serial transmit receive ports, and that's it. The other firmware you can flash into your Zigbee modules is what's called API mode. So what's called AT mode is basically what I've just described. You can use AT commands to interact with your Zigbee at a very high level, just change some parameters. API mode gives you full access to the underlying Zigbee stack, so you can do checksums, you can look at the message frames, you can do retries, and you can do all sorts of stuff. So that's the direction I intend to move ICO, where we're doing it with more sophisticated interactions with the Zigbee protocol stack. So this is pretty much wraps up the stuff I was hoping to present to everyone, along with everyone's help. It's really only touched the surface of what we can do. So anyone who's interested, I'd like to show everyone Zigbee running, talk more about the Pebble hardware and software, talk about the framework, and about pretty much anything else that anyone talks to. There's people like Grant, for example, and many others who've bought other types of Arduinos. So please come along to some, and we'll try and organise some times to hook up. And lastly, there's a couple of URLs, but most importantly, we're trying to create a developer community around all this work. And we'd be very pleased if you'd like to join the Google group called ICO-Platform, and continue on the development discussion and contribute to this work, because it's still patching, it's got gaps, but I think it's got a lot of potential. So there's a few contacts. A lot of this work has been done by the Connected Community Hackerspace in Melbourne, and we have many members are here today, and I'm really appreciative about all the work they put into this for no reason, but they just passionate about this stuff. So I think that's about it for me. There we go for time. Oh, 1 minute over.
Okay, thanks, Adam. Okay, great. Thanks, Andy. Andy has put an enormous amount of work into preparing for today, both the hardware and the software. So how about another round of applause for Andy?